We're in chapter 10, sort of the middle of the chapter, about verse 19. Remember Jesus had taught earlier these two parables in chapter 10, one about that he was the door, and we was talking about the fact that there's no other way into the church. You can't come over in through the windows or anything else. You got to go through the door. Christ is the door. We have to go through Christ in order to come to the church. And then he also said in the other parable that he was a good shepherd. And the good shepherd would actually give his life for his sheep. And so Jesus was willing to do that if it was, and he did. He eventually did give his life for his sheep. And he also said in there that he had some other sheep that were not of this fold. And he said, them I'm going to bring with me, and there's going to be one fold, one shepherd and one fold. Well, the other sheep that he's talking about was the Gentile people yet had not been in the church, only the Jews. He went to the house of the Jews, and so he would eventually bring the Gentiles into the church so that all people would be one thing. And that's why we can see that Jesus only had to build one church. He didn't have to build multiple churches. It was his church that he built that all men are to flow into. And so after he taught this, notice in verse 19, there was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad, and who hear ye him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Well, now Jesus just had performed this miracle in the last chapter on this blind man that had been blind from birth. And he said that even from the beginning of the world, it hadn't been known somebody had been blind from the birth to receive their sight like that. And so this was a great miracle. And so there's a division. The Jews are trying to say, you know, he's not the Son of God. He's not, you know, he's not what he's a fake. He's a phony. And the people are saying, hey, you know, this man is from God. Can somebody that's not from God do this? How can a man with a devil open the eyes of the blind? And so there was division among them. And so we see then he went to Jerusalem to the feast of the dedication, and it was in the winter. Now, Jesus is getting very near the end of his life. Matter of fact, most scholars think this feast was probably in what we would know as the month of December. And the Feast of Dedication was simply a feast. It wasn't a feast that all the Jews, now there's three feasts that the Jews went back to Jerusalem to worship with, the Passover and the Tabernacle and the Pentecost. But it wasn't one of those feasts, but it's a Feast of Dedication. And what this dedication was, Herod had rebuilt the temple. And so at the completion of that, they had a feast. And then each year, then some would go back to Jerusalem to this feast. And so he was there in Jerusalem at this Feast of Dedications. And he walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Now, again, the Jews were pretending. What they were doing here was trying to get him to say that he was the Son of God. And if he says that, all right, we got you. You blaspheme. Because if you look over just a few verses later, look at verse 33. Notice this. Jesus answered and saying, for a good work, the Jews answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. See, they were trying to get him to say that he was God's son so they could accuse him of blasphemy. And if they could accuse him of that, then they would have a reason then to put him to death. But Jesus told them, the works I do, I told you, believe not, and you believe not. And the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now, you think of this at this time in the life of Jesus, the things that he had done. He had healed all manner of sickness. There was those with leprosy that was incurable. He healed those. There were those that was blind. He healed those. There were those that was deaf. He healed those. The lame man that laid by the crippled man that laid by the pool, he healed him that was paralyzed. Others, you remember even the one story about the four people that brought their friend because it was so crowded, and they opened up the roof and dropped him down in, and he healed him and forgave him of his sins. And so Jesus had done, he had stilled the storm. He had fed the 5,000 with just that small amount of food, fed the 4,000 with that small amount of food. He had walked on water, and he had raised at least at this time two people from the dead, Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son. Now later on in the next chapter, we're going to see that he raises Lazarus from the dead. And so, but all these things he had done proved who he was. Let's turn, if you would, just a minute real quick to the book of Acts in chapter 2 and look at this, what Peter told these people. And these are the same men that were guilty of going around trying to kill him. Notice it said in verse 2, verse 22 and 23, he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." Notice, that's how he proved who he was. "Which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." I mean, he told him, you know this. You know this. And then notice he said, "Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now I want you to notice, when Peter told these people this, they didn't say, "Well, we didn't understand who he was. You know, if we'd understood that, we wouldn't have done it." They didn't claim innocence. They knew they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. And later on, he tells them, he says, "This same Jesus, whom you have crucified, God has raised up, and he is now on the right hand of the Father." And so they were without excuse. They knew this. They just wanted him to admit this. If he would admit this, then they'd have a reason to say, yes, here he says he's God. He's God, or he's equal with God, and therefore we can stone him, you know. And so Jesus then wouldn't tell them. Now, if you look in the last chapter, when this blind man, when the blind man asked him, he says, Jesus says, "Do you believe?" And he said, "Who is it, Lord, that I should believe?" And Jesus said, "I am the Son of God. I am God in the flesh." And the blind man said, "I believe." And so Jesus admittedly told him, he told the woman at the well. She says, "I know that the Christ is coming." And he says, "Yes, I am he." And so it wasn't that he wouldn't tell people who he was. He just would not tell these Jews because they really didn't want to know who he was. They wanted him to say this in order to put him to death. And so that's why he said then, notice, "I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." They were without excuse, like Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. "You have taken the Son of God and put him to death. He showed you all these things through wonders and signs and miracles." Notice, he said, "But you believe not, because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you." Again, notice he says, "My sheep hear my voice," those that would listen to him, "and I know them, and they follow me." And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. You know, anybody that falls away from the church does it by themselves. Notice, I want you to notice, turn to Romans chapter 8 just a minute. And notice verse 35 through the end of the chapter. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote here. Romans 8, verse 35 through the end of the chapter. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, nothing, if you love God, nothing can separate you from that. They can kill you, but all they do is destroy the body. They can't destroy the soul. You remember what Jesus in the gospel said earlier? Fear them that what? That are able to destroy both body and soul in hell. But don't fear those. They can't. Those that can only fear destroy the body, you don't have to fear them, because you still have eternal life. And so he said then that they were not able to take them out of the Father's hands. He said, I and my Father are one. Now notice, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus says, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Now, here's something they didn't realize it, but they confessed themselves that he did good works. Notice this. The Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. That's why Jesus, when they said, tell us plainly, are you God or not? That's why he would not tell them plainly. He said, look at the works, look at the things I do. Because had he told them plainly, that would have been the thing that they'd use to try to stone him. And then, verse 34, Jesus said, it's not written in your law, I say you are gods. Now, this is written in Psalms 82, and it's talking about some unjust judges. They called them gods. But Jesus says, it's written in your law or in the law of Moses that you are gods. Now notice, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. In other words, you could call these unjust judges gods and it's okay. But if I call myself a God, then you want to stone me. You're saying I'm blaspheming because I do this. And he said, if I do not the work of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And so after he had said this then, and taught them, he left. They noticed, then they sought to take him again, but he escaped out of their hands. Now, we find this over and over again in the book of John, that at times they were trying to take him, but they couldn't take him because his hour wasn't yet. Now, I don't know how he escaped out of their hands. I don't know exactly how that happened, but it happened. They did not take him. And so he then you find it over and over again that he went through the midst of the crowd because his hour was not come yet. Now, he's getting close to where his hour is, because in the next chapter or so is going to be the last feast he's going to go to, and that's going to be the Feast of Passover. Because from actually almost from chapter 12 through chapter 20, where he was crucified, is actually just 1 week of his life. Is the last week of the life. I think it's interesting that John does this, that he writes, you know, like at least a third of his book on the last week of the life of our Savior. He writes more about it than any other of the New Testament writers. And so he goes away. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. Anybody remember from chapter 1 where John was first baptizing? Bethabara, yes. And so he went back into that area, and notice he abode there, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Again, this is just a credit to John the Baptist of his good teaching, how that he taught the people. Because can you imagine now, he taught those apostles, they were followers of him at first, but he taught them so well that there's another one coming that I'm not worthy to untie his shoe. When he comes, you're to go with him. And we see the apostles immediately going with him and Jesus saying, follow me. And they left their homes and their businesses. Remember James and John that left their father in the ship where they'd been fishing, cleaning the nets, and went and followed Jesus. And so because of what John did, although he did no miracles, but because of his teaching and because of his soundness, then many people believed on him. But notice he says, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And like I say, you got to give credit to John the Baptist, because he evidently was an outstanding teacher. And when the people heard this, they realized it and they believed on Jesus. Now in chapter 11, we have an account of a man named Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And these folks lived in Bethany. Now Bethany was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And it's thought that during the week, and I think we'll see this later on, Jesus would stay with them in Bethany during this week of Passover. And then early in the morning, he would come into the temple there and teach. And so they were really close friends of his. And Mary was the one that we'll read about in chapter 12 that anointed his with this precious oil, anointed Jesus. And so they were just real good friends. And so notice this, Lazarus was sick. Now there was a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. John is pointing out here which one of the Marys it was. You realize how many Marys there are around Jesus? Let's name them. Tell me one. Mary who?
Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. Mary, his mother.
Mary, the wife of Cleophas.
And there's one more Mary that I can think of. Well, this Mary, yeah, but I mean, besides this Mary, you're right, that was Lazarus. But there's one more. It was Mary, the mother of John Mark. John's mother was named Mary. And so when he's pointing out that this is the Mary that anointed him, he's showing that which Mary it was. That's all he's trying to point out. And so she anointed, and her brother was sick. Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, again, the family were very dear friends to Jesus, very close to him. And Jesus is probably maybe 50 miles away. He went to this Bethabara, and there's where he was. And this is Bethany down close to Jerusalem. And so when they found out where he was, they sent people, sent unto him saying, Lord, the one you love, Lazarus, is sick. And when Jesus heard this, that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, need to remember that this raising of Lazarus was going to be a little bit different than the raising of these other two, of the other two that had died that Jesus had rose from the dead. They had not been dead very long at all. You remember, he was going towards the house of Jairus, and they come and said, you don't need to come because she has died. And then he went right on to the house and he raised her from the dead. And the widow of Nain's son, I think he touched the coffin where they were taken. And in that country, they would bury people the same day. They did not have any way to preserve the body or anything. And so, and they still, they still do that there. They still bury people the same day when they die over there. And so, he knew this was going to be different because Jesus, we'll see here, Jesus delays 2 days before he ever starts going. And it takes him then 2 days to get from where he is to where Lazarus is. And so it takes 4 days. That's why his sister said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. His body is decaying. Well, we probably don't think much of that, but have you ever noticed when you're driving and you see an animal on the road and it's killed and you go by it 4 days later and if it's still laying there, roll your windows down and stick your head out the window and you'll know what they're talking about. Well, when we die, we're flesh and our body decays. And so this would have been a special thing because here Lazarus would have been in the tomb for at least 3 days or maybe possibly the fourth day, I don't know. But he had been in there that long, and so this would have been a special thing to raise somebody from the dead that had been dead that long. It would have been a lot more special than the others. I mean, I don't want to say than the others, but I mean, it would have been more
convincing.
Somebody help me. More convincing. Okay. More convincing than the others because he had been dead that long. And so, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Mary and her sister, loved Martha and her sister, which was Mary, and Lazarus. And we heard therefore that he was sick. Notice, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, you know, if somebody was a real close friend of yours, and you wasn't planning this out, and somebody come and said, you were a doctor, and they come and said, hey, we need you right away to come because we got somebody sick, you wouldn't say, well, wait 2 days and I'll come. But Jesus did this because he wanted to prove how much power he had over the dead. And so he stayed there 2 days in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And that's where Lazarus would be. His disciples said of him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you're going thou thither again? In other words, you know, you got out of there because they were going to stone you and went up to Bethabara. Now, are you going back there again? And of course, Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. And again, I think he's talking about spiritually, walking spiritually in the day and in the darkness of the night. And so he wasn't going to let them, what these people were trying to do to stone him. He knew that he had a set time when he was going to die anyway. And so he knew then that they could not change that. And notice then, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Now, he said Lazarus is asleep. Now, many times in death, we find out that sometimes we say that they sleep. Remember, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 13, reading from 13 on down a little bit. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For with this we say unto you by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall descend, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so you can see here he's calling those that are asleep in Christ. Those that died are asleep in Christ. And so here he said to the apostles, Lazarus is not dead, but he sleeps. These things he said after that, and he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of the sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. What's the best thing for a sick person? Rest and sleep. And so the disciples thinking he's talking about this. Howbeit, Jesus spake at his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, he didn't want them being confused. They thought that when he said, well, he's asleep, well, you know, Master, if he's asleep, he does well, you know. But Jesus plainly told them, and he says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, said, let us go, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, Thomas had come to the conclusion, hey, if we go back there, they're going to stone us to death, and so we'll just go back and we'll die with him. Now, notice the difference in this Thomas. You remember what Thomas did when Jesus died? He doubted, didn't he? He didn't show up the one day. The first Sunday, the first day of the week when the disciples met in the room, he wasn't there. And then they told him about it, and he said, well, except I see the nail prints and feel the thrust of my hand in his side, I won't believe. And then the next week when they met, Thomas was there. He gets the name of Doubting Thomas because of that. But here he is, very bold, saying, hey, if we die with him, we'll die with him. Let's go, and maybe we'll die with him if that's what it takes. And so then Jesus came. He found them. He found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and that's only about 2 or 3 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, again, here was the death of this. They evidently were very well known in the town, and their fellow Jewish people came and was comforting them. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, she knew that Jesus had the power to heal him, to bring him back to, even if he did die, to bring him back to life at that time. But, I mean, she's probably thinking now, it's too late. He's been dead 4 days, you know. And so, if you'd been here, my brother not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou hast of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus then said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now she knew that there would be a resurrection. And there's going to be a resurrection in the last day. We need to, that's why we're here, is to prepare ourselves to live in eternity. That's the only reason we're here. And so we're here to get ready. And so because there's going to be a day coming when we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to give an account for our life. And we read in Matthew 25 about the great judgment, how that God's going to separate the sheep and the goats, and those that have done good will have a righteous home. Those evil will be everlasting punishment. And so she says, I know in the last days that he'll rise up. Okay, well, our clock has caught us. But we'll begin there next week and finish up talking about Lazarus being raised.